Song here, Lord, that's so prophetic. Who shall declare your name amongst the nations? And Father, there's got to be a people, Lord, to fulfill that prophecy. And Lord, there are a people, Lord, today that have heard a message, a great shout that's come forth from the throne of God, Lord, and who have taken that word and made that word live in their hearts so that they can take this word amongst the nations and prophesy again. And Father, we can declare this evening, Lord, that we are that scripture being fulfilled. And Father, this evening we come to hear once more from you, Lord. And we want to welcome our brother David, Lord, to the pulpit this evening, Father. And I pray, Lord, that you also bless his wife here, who's here this evening also, Lord. Lord, that he would have a liberty amongst us, Father, of your spirit, Lord God, to speak whatever would be upon his heart, Lord God. For Father, we don't come to hear from a man, Lord, but we come to hear from you. And Lord, to hear that the way that you have made a person, Lord, in a special way to do a special work in this time. So Father, we just want to commit this evening into your hands and give you the preeminence. For we ask this for your glory, Lord, in Jesus' precious name, Father. Amen. God bless you, saints, if you'd just be seated for a little while. Certainly want to welcome our brother and our sister from the United States, our brother David and sister Leslie. And it's a wonderful privilege to be able to have you to come here. I think they've just come up from the shaky South, South Island, and that's certainly had some big experiences down there. I just want to, just before I just go any further, I just want to read out one or two notices. There's going to be a youth meeting at the Heinies tomorrow night, is that right? And they would like you to be there about between 6:30 and 7 p.m. and they would like you to bring a plate with something on it. Now, over the last, I guess there's been two meetings that we've had here with the testimony that our brother has, he gave in, I think it was Cloverdale some years ago. And we heard it last Wednesday night for the second time. I guess every time that we play that testimony, it's always a blessing. Amen? And you know, that testimony is whether you were a young person or somebody that's maybe 10 years old or somebody our age, there was something in it for everybody. And I guess for the young people here, maybe the five-year-olds, they will remember that testimony as the man who had a bad experience with a duck. And for the older ones, maybe 10-year-olds or 11-year-olds, that testimony would be about a young boy who had experiences in his life. Maybe things didn't go so well for him in his younger days. But, you know, God has his hand on a person throughout their life. That's true, isn't it? For us, maybe of my age, my memories went back to the 1960s, the time of the Beatles, the Rolling Stones, Woodstock, hippies, all that time, that brought back memories to myself because I remember those days like it was yesterday. But our brother was in that time. And it was like an evolution of a person who's going through stages in his life. And sometimes, brothers and sisters, we think that the presence of the Lord was with us only when we got born again. But a prophet comes along and he tells us that he was with us all the time. Amen. Whether you were a sinner way out in the world so far into the depth of it, he said he was still with you. But what the message of the hour has come to do, brothers and sisters, is to bring an acknowledgement or an understanding of the presence of God that he was with us all the way through. Before the foundation of the world, we were in his thoughts in an attribute form. And all the way up through time, he was with us. But this, the only thing that we lacked was a relationship. And this message of the hour has come to bring that relationship back, to restore that relationship. And just before I ask my brother to come forward, I'd just like to read out a little bit out of the book of Psalms. That kind of touched my heart when I was listening to his testimony. In fact, I don't know whether I can find it now, but I'm hoping it should. It doesn't matter whether I find it or not. It goes something like this, that before we were formed. The Lord knew us. He says that we were most wonderfully made, even though we hadn't even come forth. But here we are in this hour, brothers and sisters, the very thought that he had of us has come into manifestation. And God does not want us to look in our own mirrors at the lying vanities that we're born in. He wants us to look at what he says about us. And we've come this evening to hear what God thinks of us. Amen? And when we can concentrate our thoughts on what God thinks of us, instead of looking at what we think of ourselves, then we can come into that real perfect faith, a real stability. Because our stability hasn't got anything to do with ourselves. It's got to be with what he's made us. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, if we could just maybe stand up, we'll just sing that little song, He Is Here, Hallelujah. As our brother comes forward, I just would like him to understand that we are just common folks here. We rotated off the same God in the beginning. Amen. We're just a bunch of country people. But praise the Lord. God sent a prophet in the last days that was a country sort of a person too. Amen. He is here. He is here. Hallelujah. Let's make him welcome.
He is here. Amen. He is here. Holy, holy. And the breath is holy name. Is here, listen closely, hear him calling out your name.
Pray together, our gracious Heavenly Father. Lord, your messenger told us that when we come to the house of the Lord, we'll either leave better or worse. We'll never be the same. Father, no man has ever come into your presence and left the same. Father, and we invite that changing presence into our midst. We know that you're here, Father. We ask you to continue to enlighten us and shine amongst us, Father, and be mighty that our faith might rise in you. We ask you to bless these people tonight. Be with us. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Amen. 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 God bless you. You may be seated. I just want to visit a moment with you before we touch into the word of the Lord. And the first thing I'd like you to know, this is kind of like an arranged marriage, because I have never seen your pastor. I have never talked to him. He could be sitting here incognito and I wouldn't know it. Anyway, that's just how it is. But I know that we have one common tie, and that is this message of the hour. Amen. Amen. We've been blessed to stay with the Moyers, and they certainly made me feel at home. I went into the bathroom there where they have the shower and the tub, and there's a yellow ducky on the tub. So I don't know if that's always there or if it just got there because I was in town. But you say, why does that make you feel at home? Because I have a whole set of them in my bathtub. So, you know, God's been good, and You know, I get a lot of places, it seems, anymore. I certainly never meant for my testimony to go all the places that it went. You know, Brother Biscoe's coming to preach for me in the November, and I might take the issue up with him. But we know that, I always say that prophet of God talks about, you know, predestination, and we believe in predestination. We believe that the color of our hair, the color of eyes, the stature that we're in, that he saw us. Way back then he saw us and he knew us. And he said, though it took a million years yet, nothing was going to stop us from becoming in that perfect image that God saw of us. You know, but he knew what we were because he made us that way. And I love the way Brother Branham puts it. He says, it's like a glass that's in a barnyard. God knew that glass was in the barnyard. He knew he made that glass. He knew exactly why that glass was made and the purpose that that glass was made for. So he knew that glass was there because it was in his thoughts. But he had to go find that glass. And the prophet of God said, when he found you, the minute he put his hand on you, you were justified. Because now you were back in his hand. And then he washed you up and got you ready. And then he poured his life in you. And now the glass was now fulfilling its purpose. And, you know, my testimony is not about one thing I've ever done. It's just that the barnyard I was in was in San Diego. And he reached down his hand for me. And the scripture says that when a shepherd loses a sheep, he searches diligently till he finds that sheep. And then when he finds it, he puts it on his shoulders and packs it back. And you know, that's what God did for me. He found me in the clutches of sin. And after he found me, he put me on his shoulders and he packed me to the Word of God for the hour. And he started that great process of finding me and washing me and cleansing me and finally giving my purpose and position in life, which I guess is to preach the gospel and to encourage the saints and to fill that purpose. And tonight, if I had a title for our little time of fellowship, I would like to call it, I called that my testimony, I called it a lost testimony. But I'd like to call this tonight maybe a lost purpose. A lost purpose. And just to stir up our minds, you know, I'm not going to venture too far out of the norm with out the pastor here to kind of bring you back together if I would say something strange, but we'll try to stay right down the lines that we all can understand and fellowship around. I have confidence in the Holy Spirit. I believe with all my heart, if the Holy Spirit doesn't lie between the lips of the speaker and the ear of the hearer, that nothing will transpire. I believe with all my heart, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He cares about every child. He cares about every adult. And he can still do exceedingly and abundantly above what we can ask or think. So if you have a need tonight, you just simply ask him. Ask him. That's all you have to do. You don't have to be in good condition to ask. In fact, most people that have ever got things from God, it's because they were desperate. Their condition wasn't very good. Amen. So you don't have to get right to ask God. You just have to ask God to get right. And everything will work. beautifully. But anyway, if you join with me, I don't want to have you exercise too much. We'll try not to be too long tonight. Let's stand together. You know, I watched an opportunity to watch some parliament procedures, you know, and some of our congressional procedures and compare. And they have a thing they do is they call it yielding time. I give my time to the member from such and such place. And so if three or four guys give their time, a guy can talk longer. So I'm yielding my time to Sunday morning so I can talk longer Sunday morning. Amen. Let's turn to 2 Peter, the third chapter. And let's read this wonderful chapter of St. Peter. I'm not a very good reader, but if you'll fill in the blanks and correct the sentences in your mind as you read, I'm sure we can get through it. The second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. That's what we want to do this evening. Is let's stir up our minds and bring us back to remembrance. That ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets. And we have a prophet. Amen. This scripture is day for right today. By the prophets and of the commandments of us the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they are willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for the hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promises, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. and accounting that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given him, hath written unto you, and also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable risk, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest any also being led away with the error of the wicked fall from your own steadfastness. But grow ye in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. This is a beautiful exhortation from Peter, reminding us not to lose our steadfastness. And I kind of want to go down these lines, and I just want to read a few statements to you tonight. First, that the prophet of God said to kind of captivate what we're trying to say here. And you'll find that we're just repeating the same message here that Peter has. That we don't want to lose our purpose. We don't want to lose our steadfastness. We don't want to lose what we're looking for. And prophet of God says there's an old proverb that's more than a proverb. No matter how or who is there first, you have to play the rules of the game or you'll never win. And this comes from a message entitled, What It Takes to Overcome. All unbelief, our faith, what it takes to overcome all unbelief. And that's a great thing, unbelief, because it causes people to get sidetracked and lose focus and lose purpose. So you'll never win. He says, and that's the way we have to do the race of life that we're running now. It has to be played according to God's qualifications, or we'll lose when we get there. Whether we're president, whether we're the governor or minister or who, what church we belong to, what denomination, the rules of the game has to be kept. We must run it fair. We must play it by the rules. And here we are tonight, in the shadows of the coming of the Son of God, and yet we find the church in an anemic condition. We ought to be great, strong, mighty warriors of faith, that we would shake a nation. God gives it to us if we would just receive it. So there's little things upon us that hold us back from running. Let us lay aside all those little weights now, because we're looking to the author and finisher of our faith, Jesus Christ, who was made man on earth and dwelt among us and was made sin, that through his righteousness we might be forgiven our sins. He became us sinners, that we might become his righteousness. In other words, like this, he became me that I might become him. He was the Son of God, I was a sinner. He take my place, become a sinner, that I might become a son of God. We want to read a few more statements. He says,
He's talking about a little tree growing. He says, oh, then what do you have to do is drink, 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 and keep on drinking. Don't stop when you join church and are baptized. Just keep drinking till you have faith for this and faith for that and faith for this. And push up until all the manifestations of the Holy Spirit's living in the church. Look, he said, don't stop. Don't stop moving. Don't stop drinking. Don't stop pushing up. Don't stop reaching for faith. Don't stop growing. Keep going. Let's keep moving. Let's keep going up. Let's have an understanding of what this is all about. And he goes on to say, now we are planted in Christ Jesus. Now I believed, just in my estimation of him, that he is an inexhaustible fountain of life, that you cannot exhaust his goodness. Some people think, oh, I have called on God so much. That's what he wants you to do. You have not because you ask not, and you ask not because you believe not. Ask abundantly that your joy might be filled. That's what God wants. Ask big things. Amen. Just reading down here to lay, some things. And reading here, he says, you've got saved to work. We don't dress in army just to lay around on the corner and flirt with girls. We got saved to work. Amen. He says here, you got fine people here. You've got something to work on. That's right. Now what we've got to do is just get to work. And then it goes on to say, you got saved to work. We don't dress an army just to lay around on the corner and flirt with the girls with pretty uniforms on. We train our army to fight. And we've not at a picnic. We're on a battleground. We're right here in the face of the enemy of our Lord Jesus and the enemy of our souls. Let us be up and about doing with a heart for any strife. Amen. And then I'd like to read this as we turn our thoughts to the message. I see they've got plenty of water here. So I'll preach till I run out or till I'm done. Well, that's just about the way the people gets in. We've got to have something that we have got a purpose for. We've got to purpose in our hearts. We've got to do something. Now you say, oh, we're having a revival. Yeah? We're over in the Eisenhower School Auditorium. Don't let that be you. That's just a floater and a drifter. You can never amount to anything like that. Let's get up and do something about it. Let's put our shoulder to the wheel. Let us see that our church prospers. Let's get the kingdom of God prospering. Amen. Now there is a time that a man can come to a place where he can have a purpose. It's something that will change him. And that is when a man meets God, a man can never be the same if he ever meets God face to face. It'll change him in spite of anything you can do about it. A man can never be the same after he once meets God. That's the truth. Let us take somebody. Let's start with Noah. Noah had no certain purpose in his life. But when Noah met God, he then had a purpose in his life. And I thought, just if we just take Noah and really understand what where Noah was. Noah was at the doorstep of the destruction of the world. And Peter just told us that. And how many times have you heard the prophet of God say, we're at the end time, we're at the end time. But yet there's a spirit that says, wait a minute, all things continue the same. It's been 40 years now since the prophet of God has left the scene. Where is the sign of his coming? Everything remains the same. That same spirit is today. And then Peter goes on to say, he says, God's not slack in his promises as some men count slackness. In other words, people have said, well, where is the Simon is coming? Or where is his coming? In other words, and Peter goes on to say, we look up. The fact that the Lord has delayed his coming and is long suffering towards us is our salvation. I'm sure glad that he didn't come a couple years ago. I don't know if I'd have been ready. But I think we're being exhorted now. Have we forgot our purpose? Has time ticked it away from us? And have we been sucked into other things and allowed other thoughts and other things to enter into our life? Have we got other goals and other ambitions? And that's what Peter's exhorting. He's saying, hey, let's not forget. You know, God's right on time. You don't know the hour. You don't know the day, because it's 1,000 years is but a day, and a day's like 1,000 years. In other words, it's right on schedule. And Noah was called. And we know the scripture tells us, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be. And so we see that the same spirits that Peter talks about. Noah was preparing for an exodus. He was going to make an exodus from one world, as Peter said, the world that was. And he was going to make an exodus into a world that was going to be a new world, washed by the waters of the flood. And so God prepared him an ark. He prepared him a way to make that exodus. He gave him the formula. And then he had to go out and build it according to the word of God. So he had to prepare. And he had a purpose. Noah's purpose became to prepare for that exodus. He was a man without purpose until he heard a message from God. And then when he heard that message from God, he was stirred up with a purpose. A purpose that was so pure, that he knew was so right, that it totally separated him. Amen. Made him a total fanatic. Amen. He set to preparing. He didn't forget his purpose. 120 years. He didn't forget his purpose. 120 years he knew what he was preparing for. He knew what he was looking for. Every day he looked up and he felt the drop. And then he would say, oh, I got to work harder today to get this job done. Yes. To get all the pieces put together. To build the ark just the way it's supposed to be built. To put my life together. To get everything lined up with the word of God. To get everything lined up with the instructions that God's given me, so I can be prepared. Amen. For the purpose that God's fixing to have an exodus. He's fixing to have a going out. a crossing over. Every time that there's an exodus. Every time that there's that God makes a move, we know that He sends a message, and that messenger barks out the warning. It's part of the exodus. Part of Noah's exodus over was that he preached for 120 years. That they were at the end time. That the day of the Lord was at hand. That the judgments of God is at hand. Peter speaking the same thing. Why? Because Peter was also involved in an exodus.
Yeah.
Sure he was. But there was another exodus before that one, and that was in the days of Moses. And we know that exodus, they were going to come out of one land that type sin and go into another land that type promise. With milk and honey. And it was a beautiful type of coming out of sin and coming into the promise. And they're coming out of Egypt. And Moses told them about a land. But what did they have to do? They had to prepare. And then God gave them something that they had to come into. They had to come under. They had to come under that blood put upon that doorpost. They had to go in there and eat that Passover. But why? They had to prepare their minds, to prepare their hearts, to prepare their lives for an exodus. And their whole purpose was to leave.
Amen.
Not to stay in Egypt. They grabbed what they could and that night that death angel rolled across that land, everybody that wasn't under that prepared place that God had put there, that token that he laid over that post, that death angel struck them. And we got a token in our day that we're supposed to put out over our lives. Why? Because it signifies that we haven't lost our purpose. We haven't forgotten our purpose. We haven't forgot why we're living. We ain't forgot what we're here for. We're here for an exodus.
Amen.
We're not here to stay.
Amen.
We're here to leave.
Amen.
This message isn't about a better life here. A way to live down here.
Right.
You want to learn how to live down here? Go down to one of these bookstores. They tell you how to stay. I don't want something that tells me how to stay. I want something that tells me how to leave.
Amen.
That's what this is about. Wasn't about staying in the land of Egypt. It's about leaving. Boy, and they got out there a little ways on their journey. Things got a little rough. What did they want to do? Oh, I want the garlic. I want to go back to Egypt. Well, I think that's what's happening today. People are forgetting their purpose. They've lost their purpose. Now they're trying to look for a spot in life. Starting to look for a career. Starting to look for a better life. A better retirement. A better way of life down here. More comfort. More pleasure. More ease.
Yeah.
Their minds are more on living than leaving.
Yeah. Amen.
Our hearts aren't full of resurrection and rapture. Our minds aren't full of it. Our days aren't full of it. We don't listen to the message to find out how we can leave. We almost listen to the message anymore how that we can build a denomination and how that we can get all our doctrines right and how we can line our doctrines up with everybody else's doctrine. Sorry, I don't mean to go there. I get inspired.
Amen.
Still about leaving. It's a message. We're at the end time. We're at the coming of the Lord. We're right on the doorsteps of the coming of the Lord. And just think, we ought to be more on the doorsteps than we were yesterday. Amen. We'll be closer tomorrow than we are tonight. It's not a time to lose our purpose. Not a time to lose what it's all about. And they had to prepare. They prepared for that journey. They were preparing for it. They had to go out and preach. Get your loved ones in. Get them under the blood now. The death angel's fixing the pass. Get your loved ones in. Get them in now. Get them under the token. Get them under God's provided way. Do whatever you have to do. We've lost our purpose. Lost our purpose for our loved ones. Lost our purpose for our neighbors. Why should we be embarrassed? We're not embarrassed about this message. It's God's provided way to leave. If you don't come under it, you're gone. What do you think those people did? They begged their fathers. They begged their mothers. They begged their neighbors. Come over to my house. Come under my faith. Come under my baptism. Come under the token. Because there's a destruction fixing to blow across the land. Rahab the harlot. A harlot. She found out destruction was coming. Amen. She took the word of God in. And what did they tell her? They didn't tell her about, oh, now you go get right and you do all this and do all this. They said, you hang this scarlet thread out your door. And everybody that comes under it will be saved. What do you think her purpose was? She went and told everybody, she's on fire. Get in, get in, get in. She didn't lose. She had a purpose. All of a sudden she had a purpose. She was without purpose. Her life was wasted. Without purpose. Given into prostitution. Given as a harlot. No chance of reputation. No chance of nothing. And then all of a sudden she had the words of life. What were the words of life? Come under this thread. Come under this message. Amen. Come under this provided way of God. Get in here. If you get in here, if you get into this. This message isn't about correcting every church doctrine out there. Right. Correcting people on baptism. Correcting people on speaking in tongues. Going out there correcting everything and correcting all the different doctrines. We're not here to argue doctrines with people. We're here to leave. We're here to tell someone, you want to leave? You come into the message of the hour. It's the only way that you can prepare to leave is by God's word. Not another way. Don't you think this message was that the prophet of God wanted to get a church in order? I believe in church order. Because when we come together, we should come together in church order. I believe in the fivefold ministry. I believe in listening to tapes. I believe in all those things. But I don't believe in listening to them to stay. I believe in listening to them to leave. It's preparation. In the days of Jesus, okay, we're going to leave the law to grace. They had to prepare. They went in an upper room. Jesus has communion with them. Gives them a commandment of communion and foot washing. Why? So they would remember. So they wouldn't forget their purpose. He was trying to establish. Go and tell the world. Go out and preach. Every tongue, every nation. I'm coming back. Wash one another's feet. Why? To remember you're in service. Service for what? God's purpose. Amen. That we don't forget His purpose. Nowadays we want God to be a psychiatrist. Oh, just make me feel better. Just make me think better. Just let me be able to cope. I don't want to cope.
Amen.
I want to hate this place. I want to despise the world and everything in the world. I want that psychiatrist to look at me and say, it don't sound like you want to live here anymore.
Amen.
Yes, sir. I don't want to live here. I look up because my redemption draweth nigh.
Amen.
You want to make your day look good? Step out every morning and look up. Say, oh God, is this the day I'm going to step into that other dimension? Is this the day that I'll be delivered from this place? Is this the day that I'll be delivered from this old wretched flesh? Have a purpose.
Amen.
Not more money. No. Who can I tell today, Lord? Lord, a loved one, a friend, somebody I know, I need to tell them. Father, let me have the words to tell them. Lord, give them the grace to receive it. Do something for them, Lord. Please. I don't want to see them left. I'm making intercession for my old buddy in high school. I'm making intercession for my old college mate. Lord, there's people out here that have been good to me. Lord, I don't want them left. But if you don't think he's coming, and you just think everything's as it was, and where is the sign of his coming, then you just figure that old poor guy will work it out for himself. Well, I'm glad God didn't rely on me to work it out for myself. You know, I'm glad that friend of mine said, read the Bible. One little word. God preparing a meeting place. Who knows? Somebody may have knelt down somewhere. Some believer somewhere said, Father, oh, please bring in that last one. Who knows what turned the table? Somebody with a purpose. And so we know that they prepared. They went to the upper room. They prepared. They had a purpose. They looked for the sign of his coming.
Yeah.
That's what they talked about. That's what Paul went and preached. Peter's saying here, Paul preached these same things. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we'll be changed. If we don't have this hope, if we lose this purpose, we of most men and women are miserable. That's why there's so much misery in the message today. Amongst people who ought to be full of joy, full of happiness, because they received the invitation to leave.
Amen.
And they received the instructions of preparation to get out of here. And they've been told that their name is on the list.
Amen.
To leave. It's like one of those standby lists in the airport. You like it when you put your name up there. But boy, you really like it when they call your name and they give you a seat assignment. Why? Because you know you're leaving. And if you believe this message that God sent through William, Mary, and Branham, you believe in Malachi 4:5, Luke 17:30, Revelation 10:7, then you ought to know you got a seat assignment.
Amen.
You ought to know the plane's leaving. And you got to know you got to prepare to board that plane. Take your seat. What do you do when you're sitting in your seat? You're waiting for takeoff. I don't sit there and wait to say, please return to the terminal. We ain't leaving. No, sir. I buckle up. That's what the prophet of God said. Buckle up. The enemy ain't going to leave you this way. Put your seatbelt on. Draw it together. Don't forget your purpose. Don't forget why you're here as a body. Don't forget you're not here to be educated by your pastor, whoever he is. You're here to leave. And if your church grows, it ought to grow with leavers, not stayers. It ought to be people who want to get ready to leave. That's what it's all about. That's where we are today. We're at the last Exodus.
Amen.
Let me just read some few statements to you in closing. And I think they're just beautiful statements. And why they perish. And I like this. The prophet of God saying, is your life worthy of the gospel? The gospel is a leaving gospel. Does your life reflect you're leaving? Or does it reflect you're trying to stay better? I'm trying to stay here more comfortable. I'm staying to here, stay here more better. I want to stay in the earth and I want to be happy. And I want to have lots of comfort. Some new shoes. I only got 55 pairs of shoes. I need two more. Got 35 dresses, but it doesn't match, so I need 25 more sweaters. I need some more suits. I need some more fishing rods. Well, I won't go there. I got lots of fishing rods. But you understand what I'm saying. You forget your purpose. You forget what life's about. Life's not about the university. Go to the university. I think it's great. Be educated. I think it's wonderful. But don't let it be your life. Don't let it be your purpose. We're supposed to be redeeming the time and abiding the time. We're not supposed to be making time. Make no provisions for the flesh.
Amen.
Refocus. Refocus. Don't lose your purpose. Refocus. Listen to what he talks about Paul. He says, that settled it. When that light flashed across that seed, laying in that little old harlot, that harlot's days was over. When that light flashed across that seed, the harlot days were over.
Amen.
Into the street she went, glorifying God, saying, come see a man who told me the things that I've done. Isn't this the Messiah? What was it? The light got to that seed back under the shadow of that prostitute shelter. Yes, sir. Well, has the message got to that seed back under the shelters that we're in, that we've built to shelter our lives? Has it got to you? I'm coming. Are you going? Are you preparing? Are you doing what is there? You got the token. What? You think people in this message got the token? TVs are flying into our homes like you can't believe. Oh, you call it a computer, and I'm not against computers. But you got to be careful you don't turn your computer into a TV. Anyway, it goes on. He says, now, let us close in saying this. I don't know how many more pages I've got. I sure won't take them all, about 10. But that's just about 1/2 hour, though. But let's close in saying this. Let's compare something one time of a life worthy. Let's compare the life of St. Paul to the rich young ruler. The same light struck both men. Both had the same invitation from Jesus Christ. Is that right? They both was well trained in the scriptures. They both were theologians. Remember Jesus told the rich young ruler, keep my commandments. He said, I've done this from my youth. He was a trained man. So was St. Paul. Both were well trained in the scriptures. But both of them had the word. One had it from a knowledge. The other one had it, the germ of life in it. And when that light flashed across in front of Paul, he said, "Lord, who are you?" He said, "I'm Jesus. Here I am then." He was ready. Wasn't it what this message was about? As John the Baptist forerun the second coming of Jesus Christ, so does my message forerun His first coming. And then we saw Jesus veiled in flesh, trying to unite with a bride. Well, I could go through lots of quotes. What? To take her home. You know, the prophet of God said, you know why he said, it's just an amazing statement. Let me just read it here while it's on my heart to read. See if I can find it here. Maybe I didn't bring it out. But he makes a statement. It's really striking. But he said, let me just read this one. He said, the reason people in Noah's days did not go into the ark, because they never recognized the message nor the messenger. The reason they didn't enter into the ark is they didn't recognize the message. You see, and we're slipping to where we're not recognizing the message. The message isn't, I brought all these mysteries, learn them. The message is the sign of the end time has come. He turned His back to the audience, gave the bride the last sign. It came down in the great cloud like you have out here on your wall. It can open the seven seals that the mysteries of God would be finished. Why? Because it's finished. The plan of redemption has been revealed. You understand? In other words, he wasn't preaching anymore. He said time was no more. Why? Because he's not preaching to the carnal man. He's preaching to your eternal being.
Amen.
Who you were in the beginning, who you were, where your name was. Why? He's trying to tell you something. He's trying to tell you you're not meant to live here.
Amen.
You're meant to leave. You're meant to go home. Young kids, young children, you can come too. Obey your parents. Respect mom and dad. You might not understand all the mysteries, but if you live good, you separate yourself from evil. You don't listen when people call you away. You respect your parents. There's life. God will take you. You're not going to be held accountable. Those of you who've been listening to tapes all these years and been professing that God sent a prophet all these years, you are accountable. There is no place to hide. He said, they never recognized the message. That's the only reason they perished, is because they didn't recognize the hour that they were living. They didn't recognize that God would deal with sin as He promised He would. That He would destroy man from the face of the earth as He had prophesied it. He meant it. And He means it today the same as He did then. That's the message. And I know all about choosing of a bride. And I know all about the invisible union of bride, where He says, my message is to you is you never did it in the first place. Why? That's to show you. You can divorce that earthly husband. You can separate yourself from the things of the world because he's made a way for you to prepare and to escape that he might take you home, bringing Eve back to Eden.
Amen.
If you go read that book, he says, this is the going home of the bride.
Yes.
It ain't the staying of the bride.
Amen.
It's the going home of the bride. They didn't know the day. They didn't know. That's the reason they missed it, is because they didn't recognize it. They were like the day, a lot somewhat like the people today. Blind by scientific proofs, by educational systems, by theological seminaries, and things that blind them in that day. It's done the same thing today. It's blinded them again. And also the simplicity of the message, and that the messenger, Noah, wasn't scientific. He wasn't an educated man. He was a poor farmer, humble, and with a simple message. It was too simple for their higher learning. The first thing you confess to me, we're simple, humble farmers. How much more should you be ready? How much more should we be ready? This is leaving time, church. Let's don't lose our purpose. Let's don't forget why we're here. You know, the prophet of God said, he said, man had the same five senses he's always had. Same five senses, same emotion senses. He said, why in the last 75 years have they gone, or 100 years, gone from horse and buggy to an astronaut? But the same five senses.
Yeah.
You know why he said? I could read it. I have it here, but I'm not going to read it. He said, because they quit trusting God.
Yeah.
And they started trusting themselves. Do you trust God he's coming? Do you trust God it's the end time?
Amen.
Do you trust God there's nothing here for us? Do you trust God your name's on the Lamb's Book of Life?
Amen.
Do you trust God he's marrying you? Remember that little story of the little ranch girl? Come live with her sisters. And they scoffed her and they mocked her. Why? Because she was getting ready for her bridegroom to pick her up. Oh, it'll never be a group like you. And they mocked her and their scoffer. What did he say? In the last days there shall be mockers and scoffers. Surely he's not coming. Surely this isn't the way that God prepared to leave. But this message is God's provided way to leave. And they mocked her and everything. What did she do? She dressed up in her bridal gown. She went to her position and she stood there. And the more she stood there, firmer to her commitment,
yes,
firmer to her purpose, firmer to her belief that she was the one that he was coming for. So dedicated her life, so dedicated her conversation that the report that the foreman gave was she has been preparing for this day.
Amen.
She stood there adorned in her garment.
Amen.
That she prepared and worked on. She had to separate herself from every invitation, from every other thing. And she stood there. And the more she stood there, the more they laughed. The more they howled. But she knew. Because she had his word. She had the Eliezer call. She had the invite, not from a foreman, but from Jesus Christ himself, veiled in flesh, speaking the unadulterated word of God for us. My little sweet bride, I'm coming for you. Come out from amongst her and be ye separate. She didn't lose her purpose. She didn't forget how that God put her on that ranch.
Amen.
All the events that were in her life were pre-planned so she could be there. Her footsteps was ordered by the Lord.
Amen.
To walk out there and to throw that dishwater out just at that time. Knew exactly. Can he call you? Somewhere, somehow. He found you. He called you. And I hope he told you that I'm coming for you. Look up. Your redemption is nigh. You know, I preached a little testimony. This was on my heart. Preach it. God told me to give my testimony there. And I called it Forgotten Testimony. But I think this is a greater message. Because what good does it do if we have a testimony and we forget our purpose? We forget what we're here for. We forget what this is all about. Let's don't forget, church. It's about leaving. It ain't about staying. This is a rapturing message.
Amen.
And what was contained in this message, in the opening of the seals, if you remember, is rapturing faith. Not staying power. But rapturing faith. I want the power to fight the enemy of my soul. To fight the enemy of our Lord Jesus. To fight him that is trying to deter me from my purpose. And he's trying to deter the church from their purpose. Heaping to themselves teachers, having itching ears, but never coming to the realization of the truth. Why did they perish? They didn't recognize their day. They didn't recognize their hour. And they didn't recognize the message. In other words, they had the doctrine, but they forgot the purpose. They started building. What did they do in the days of Noah? They built. They married. They were given into marriage. What are those? That's life. They forgot about leaving and concentrated on staying. Let's don't forget about leaving, huh? Amen. Let's repurpose in our hearts. Repurpose in our souls. Repurpose in our minds. In everything. Lord, you gave me this message as an invitation to leave. Not to stay. To make me a part of the rapture. I don't want to be a part of the tribulation. I want to prepare. I want to not forget my purpose. I want to make my man steadfast. And that's what Peter says. Don't lose your steadfastness. Don't lose your focus. Don't lose your mind. Amen. And you know, I preached a little harder than I intended to, but sometimes it's like a brook that just bubbles up on the inside. And I don't want anybody to miss it. And I know Satan's like a roaring lion going about seeking whom he may devour. And we're past, I trust, drinking and smoking. Okay? But what we're not past is losing our purpose and our focus and our heart's desire. And Peter says, I stir up your pure minds to remember what the prophet has told us. Amen. And that's all we're here. I don't know who's having the young people's tomorrow night, but I don't know if they would mind if somebody wanted to fudge in But you have my personal invite to fudge in if you want to. But you got to make sure you bring extra, because I can borrow a plate, but I don't have no way of putting nothing on it. So, Lord bless you. I want you to know that I couldn't have a better birthday present today than preaching this gospel to you. And this is the gospel of truth. What I've told you is the truth. It's the word of the Lord. And if you listen to this tape, you'll hear him. End time. End time. Getting ready. Preparation of the bride. God's provided way. A man here can turn on the light. But it ain't about staying. It's about leaving. Lord richly bless you. We love you. Anyway, this was short. We'll try to be longer Sunday morning. No, we don't know what we'll do. We just come on my heart on the way to church. So I thought of the prophet of God, said, I just come in there and I just jotted down a few notes. But I think it was the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Lord richly bless you, brother. God bless you. God bless you, saints.
Praise the Lord. Our musicians, would you like to come forward, please?
You know, I was just sitting down there and I thought, I've got to come up here, I've got to say something. But I wrote it down on here, what I was going to say. Okay, I wrote it down before he said it. I said, I was going to say, I wrote it down here, I wrote down orphan girl. And 2 minutes later, he said the same thing. I said to my wife, look at this, look at this. He's saying the same thing. Must be ripping me off. Look at this. He's in my channel here. But you know what? It shows that God's here. Amen.
Amen.
And you know, we're living in a day where all the governments have got these long-range forecasts. They're forecasting in 5 years it's going to be like this, and we're going to be able to get our deficits back, and everything's going to be back in some kind of an order. Well, I want to declare to them, because we are here, there. Systems are falling apart.
Amen.
And when we go, it's even going to get worse. But I just praise the Lord that we can have a sermon preached to us that is so real. You know, we often do major too much on doctrines and the thunders and the seals and everything else like that. But at the end of the day, the doctrine will never get you into rapture. It's when that doctrine becomes life. Amen. So I want to thank you, brother. It was really a blessed time. And, well, if this is what it was like tonight, I'm looking forward to Sunday even more. Praise the Lord. Let's stand to our feet. What have we got this evening?
I am thine, O Lord. I have heard thy voice and told thy love to me, that I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee.
Let's mean it now.
Be nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. His bleeding side, lean now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. My soul woke up with the stiff, and my will be lost in. Every single laugh.
Sisters, I've just got to say this, that, you know, we often, because of this Laodicean age that we're born into, we get so easily influenced, whether it's World Cup rugby or whether it's this or whether it's that or something going on. But, you know, you don't have to make such a big thing to get out of it. Or you just go to the Lord and say, look, Lord, I got fooled here. And as quick as you confess it to him, it's gone. Amen. You know, this evening, just before I came to the meeting, I just like to say this. You know, I've been preaching over 20 years, and I've preached in some pretty big places. But I've never been what you call an MC. When Brother Paul sent me an email and he said, Brother Adrian, would you introduce and close all the meetings? I thought, oh my goodness, man. Nervousness took me over big time, because I am not an MC. Well, that's master of ceremonies. I preach, but I'm no good at introducing people. I'm no good at closing off meetings. I'm no good at those kind of things. But I looked to him, because I know my weaknesses. But I know if I give my weaknesses to him, he just takes over and gives me all the strength that I need to have to get through into the next part. But you know, we've all been influenced. And I would say there wouldn't be any person here who would say that they haven't been by events around us. But I think, you know, by the preaching of the word this evening, let's refocus ourselves, amen. Because, you know, that was a very, very strong warning from the Lord to just shake things off us, okay? Just shake it away. Let's concentrate on leaving, you know. Many preachers say, well, they're looking for a coming, and some say we're looking for a going, but actually it's the same thing. The coming is the going. Let's bow our heads. Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, we're here, Lord, to push through ourselves, Lord. We're here through to push through these things that we've been born into, Lord God. Push through into that great, precious, glorious presence, Lord, of knowing who we are and what we're here for. Lord, what you're wanting from us. And Father, we've all got these little things called the, you know, like what jets go through, sound barriers that start to shake us until we get through onto the other side where it's just so much more freer. And Father, this ladder here, it's just something that we have to speed ourselves right up to get right through it. Onto that other side, Lord, completely, not just coming back to a slower speed again, but Lord, even speeding up more and more, looking to the with a great focus, Lord, as our prophet did, Lord God, when he come to those seals and he could see what you're wanting him to do. He is looking to the end, Lord. When it comes to the wings of a snow white dove and you released him of so many of those things that bothered him all of his life, he knew, Lord, he is in a great countdown to going home. And Father, when he came up to that communion sermon, Lord, he must have seen what you preached in your last sermon and knew his time on earth was coming to an end. And Father, I just believe, Lord, that you're refocusing us, Lord, so we can see we're coming to the right to the end of it now, so we can get out of here. But Lord, let us not go empty-handed. Let us take that many more people with us, Lord, that are predestined to come with us. Father, we thank you. We just pray you'll bless our brother and our sister, Lord. Father, for whatever the days bring, Lord, I just pray for tomorrow night. Father, that we'll have a wonderful time there. And over the weekend, we just look forward to a time on Sunday. Please unction him, Lord God, as we know that you will, for a word in season. For we ask this for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. You are dismissed. Don't take the words that have been spoken this evening lightly. As our brother said, we've been given much to those who much has been given, much is required. The deeper the word that we understand, the more God wants us to do with it. Amen. God bless you.